I'm struggling with this game because everything is screaming take Wake Forest, but at the same time,
right,
I worry about that game last week, and will there be any lingering effects down the road?
Hello and welcome to Thursday, September 29th. It's the Thursday edition of Always College Football. We appreciate you being with us. As you can tell, none of us really know. I mean, shoot, is this the week? Like Bear just said a second ago, is this the week where you feel good about it? I don't know. I mean, it's a tricky one. The sharps are getting sharper, and us, you know, average Joes are starting to get left in the dust, but we're going to figure it out. We're going to get things ironed out, that's for sure. He's Mark Kubiak. I'm Greg McElroy. We appreciate you being with us. Just like every single week, we have Chris the Bear Felica join us here on Thursday to help set your board for the weekend. We're going to hit a million different games just like we always do. So we won't put it off any further. Let's get down to it. Let's talk about it.
Every college football season, Goodyear knows the importance of winning on the road. The road will always demand confidence, the confidence to handle whatever the journey brings and to perform under tough conditions. And just like the players and the fans of college football, Goodyear is ready. Are you ready for the road? Visit Goodyear.com to find the right Goodyear tires for whatever road you're on this season. Goodyear, more driven.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, joins us every single Thursday. He's Chris the Bear Felica. It's time to get into some of the action. I'm even wearing my lucky shirt today, Bear, so I feel like we're in a good place. About to feel really, really... This shirt signifies the vacation we're going to take with the winnings that you're about to give us. How's that sound?
Perfect. I already have a trip planned to Turks and Caicos in February, so hopefully I can boost my accommodations and afford a few more nice dinners after the next couple of
Let's get it done.
You're welcome to join us, by the way. Great space, beautiful. I don't know if you've been there or not.
I have not tempted, though, that's for sure. That might be in the heart. That might be in the heart of spring football, though. So I don't know. I don't know if I can get away. We shall see.
You can make time. You can make plenty of time for that. All right. You'll love it. You'll love it.
As long as we can squeeze from down there on some of these, some of the action, maybe in the USFL or the XFL back down in February, I might be interested. That's for sure. All right, let's get into some of these games. Let's start tonight. I don't know if you have a lean. BYU to me is a bit of an anomaly. Utah State against the spread this year have been atrocious. I can't lay 24 points. I just can't. I love BYU. I think they're a great team. But 24 points against a team in Utah State that I'm just not sure what I'm going to get. I'm going to stay away from this one tonight. If you have a feel, let us know.
I'd probably take BYU if I were looking just to have a little fix on this game and a little action rush. I mean, Utah State's terrible. I mean, they were a little bit of an anomaly last week. The one thing, I guess, if you're looking to be a little hesitant or not really wanting to lay the points, is even though it is a Thursday game, BYU has Notre Dame, the game in Vegas next week. So even though it is kind of a longer break between games, it could be a little, we got Notre Dame next week, we got Notre Dame next week, going to Vegas kind of deal. And they might just kind of sleepwalk in a game like this. But BYU is clearly the much better team. So yeah, I would lay it if I had to, but I don't feel great about it.
No, I'm probably with you. I don't love
probably an over game, I would think, because Utah State's defense is just terrible.
Okay, 60 points. Laying the point.
And I think BYU will probably have some, BYU probably have some of their receivers back as well. So their offense should get right this week.
Would be nice for sure to see those guys back in the fold. That's for sure. Let's get to the Friday action. A couple intriguing games here, Bear.
Yes.
In particular that I know the one that you're looking at, Washington on the road at UCLA. This line opened as Washington is a 3.5-point favorite there in the Rose Bowl. This is really the first test for UCLA. A lot of people kind of hung up on the performance against South Alabama. People hung up with the first half performance against against Bowling Green in the opener. But it's really the first opportunity we have to get a kind of good gauge for UCLA. They're thin on the defensive line, though, and I am the tiniest bit concerned about that group's ability to affect Michael Penix and disrupt the rhythm of the passing game. So this line's sitting right now, Bear, at 3. Which way you leaning?
I like Washington in this game. I mean, I think the Huskies are actually really good. And I think, again, so much talk about what's gone on at USC with the coaching change and the transfer portal and kind of SC being reshaped. While Washington is done kind of getting rid of Jimmy Lake, bringing in Kalen DeBoer, bringing in Michael Penix, I mean, their offense has been completely reshaped as well. I have the same concerns as you with UCLA. I mean, there really isn't any home field there at all for the Bruins either. I would think probably UW might even travel down more people to the Rose Bowl than UCLA might have there as well. I think UW's pretty good, and I think UCLA knows that UW is pretty good as well. But at the same time, it's hard for me to not hop on board here with Washington. Like you talked about the South Alabama game and the Bowling Green game. Like I think Washington is more battle tested, but at the same time, in a couple of weeks, depending on what happens with Michigan State, we might come to a realization that Michigan State might just stink. But still, I think their performance obviously this year has been much crisper than the Bruins, and I'd lay the points here.
I can get on board with that. I just don't like UCLA. If I'm going to play it, I like first half Washington. They've been a dynamo in the first half of these football games. UCLA, conversely, been excellent in the second half. So I might actually get greedy. Washington first half, UCLA second half. And then as far as the game is concerned, we'll see how it all unfolds. Another game that's line kind of made me a little bit curious. I thought it was a peculiar move. UNLV is undefeated against the spread right now this year. They were a 16-point favorite at home to New Mexico. That line now is coming down. New Mexico is one of the worst teams in college football, mm-hmm. and yet that line is coming down, and the Lobos are on the steaming side. It's down to 14. So how do you play this? A team that's been good against the spread, a team that's been awful here on a Friday night.
That's probably why the line has come down a little bit. People thinking that the law of averages will finally catch up with UNLV. But I'd be careful here. I think as Marcus Arroyo gets his offense more installed there behind the quarterback, Brumfield is a good player, dual threat kind of guy, big lefty. I don't know if I would take New Mexico here just to kind of be contrarian and be like, oh, there's no way UNLV is going to keep covering these numbers. I think the Rebels, I think we talked about UNLV a couple of weeks back, about they're finally showing like a pulse, and they actually might not stink this year, for the lack of a better word. They might actually be serviceable. And I think at least offensively, they're showing it so far. But yeah, you can't play New Mexico. I mean, I don't know how anybody could.
You can't. You just can't do it. I'm sorry. Like, I won't let you. Even if you want to, I won't let you.
Other interesting
games here. Like Friday's a very interesting slate. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes. Houston's got infighting like crazy.
All five of those games. Yeah. What's going on with that? With Dana and just a bizarre team. And that was, it's interesting because before the year, I kind of thought Houston might be the team that could win that league. But the way this season has started, with the games ending wildly, some losses, and just kind of everything that's gone on off the field. Wow, that's a I had Tulane a couple of weeks ago when they wound up beating Kansas State outright. It wouldn't shock me how you get that yo-yo effect with Tulane. Like a couple of weeks ago, great win at Kansas State. Last week, predictable letdown against Southern Miss, and now you're an underdog on the road at Houston against a team that offensive line-wise, they are not good at all. Their offensive line is bad. I could get on board here with the Green Wave.
You see, like I'd be on the other side there because it doesn't make sense to me. Like everyone's like, oh, well, Tulane beat Kansas State. Kansas State's ranked in the top 25. And why is Houston favored? I kind of lean Houston here. I don't know. Maybe it's a get-right situation. That's one interesting game. Tulane, of course, in the news after last week's performance with Kansas State. UTSA playing against a team that beat Miami last week in Middle Tennessee. I love UTSA in this spot. They were a point favorite. Now they're down to a 4.5. I think Middle Tennessee's reading their press clippings, and UTSA is not a team that you want to mess around with when it comes to that aspect of it. So I kind of lean UTSA laying 4.5 on the road, Bear, which to me is always a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, I don't mind laying points on the road here because I think you're right. I mean, you're looking at a Middle Tennessee team that, like, they're not really very good. That was all about Miami being terrible last week, giving up big plays on defense, having a quarterback situation where Van Dyke really isn't made for this new offense, having no wide receivers. It just snowballed. They lost a heartbreaker the week before in College Station, and everything that could go wrong did. Like, UTSA is not a team that's going to be giving up 70-yard scoring plays, 90-yard scoring plays. They're a well-coached, battle-tested type team, and I think people see, Middle Tennessee, a home dog, being very attractive. I'd be careful here because I agree with you. I think UTSA is the right side. But going through these games here, I'm going to have to get my my Will Hill contest plays in early this week because there are a couple of games here on Friday I'm probably going to want in on.
I'm telling you, the Friday slate, and then you got Boise. Like, we didn't even mention Boise. They fire their OC. Bachmeyer's in the portal. It's like, what? And Boise's a favorite, and they're steaming. Six-point favorite against San Diego State. So Friday's nuts to me.
How about this? I don't think people have caught on to how bad either of these teams are. They're typically two of the better teams in the Mountain West, two of the better group of five teams. So you've got an awful San Diego State offense, and then you've got a Boise State offense where your quarterback is left, your offensive coordinator has been fired, and they're still probably the side that you'd want to play.
Right. I'm telling you, it's Friday's nuts. I mean, if you want like weird gambling angles, that's a weird day to have it. All right, let's get into the heat on Saturday because there's a bunch of good games that we want to get to. Let's start with Iowa and Michigan. This game to me, fascinating. Anytime you get a top five team on the road in Kinnick, it's almost an auto play for me. I've not liked anything I've seen from Iowa this year. It's an auto play. I'm taking the Hawks at home against top tier competition. I'm not sold on Michigan's run defense. I'm not sold on a few things with Michigan on the defensive side. I think they'll score, but I just don't know. I'm taking the 11 points at home, but I feel like a sucker, Bear. Tell me where I'm a sucker.
This feels like either Iowa wins outright, all the top five voodoo about the last six teams to come in there, five have lost, and the other one was that Penn State last second win. This feels like either Iowa wins outright or Michigan wins the game convincingly. And I know there are people out there that kind of roll their eyes and scoff at that logic, but I mean, the game kind of just sets up that way for me. Either Iowa's going to continue to get defensive stops, get non-offensive touchdowns like they did last week at Rutgers, or you're going to see Blake Corman wild. You're going to see McCarthy take a step forward offensively and throwing the ball. See, I actually have more questions, about the Michigan offense with McCarthy and throwing the ball against this team than I do the defense, because Iowa's not going to be a team that's going to challenge Michigan and maybe expose some of the weaknesses that you think they may have. This is probably one that I'm going to stay away from because I think logically, like you said, everything indicates taking the home dog north of 10 points because Iowa tends to always be involved in close games in this situation. But at the same time, there's also a path here where this game could get out of hand. And if it does, Iowa wouldn't fully be equipped to come back.
Yeah, I mean, I could definitely see Corum, you know, putting the icing on the cake, up 17-10 and scoring a touchdown there with a minute left, you know, right down the field to give them outside the number. Let's go to some of the games that might be impacted by weather. NC State and Clemson, you'll be there. I, for one, am having a hard time getting behind NC State right now. I just haven't seen their quarterback play at the level that I've anticipated. I think their defense will hold up, and I've been very impressed with what I've seen from Clemson's offensively, but if it is rain, really? If there is weather, if it is inclement, I like Clemson right now. I think they're playing really good, really, really well. And I think DJ played great last week as well and made some throws that were legit. So I am on board the Tigers bandwagon, but I don't know how they're going to handle the elements this weekend. So if it does become a slugfest, as far as the weather's concerned, Bear, is it an auto play on the under? Like, how do you handle that?
No, I think with all of these games that are kind of being impacted by the weather, don't chase the unders at this point. If you're going to do anything, try and pick the bottom and go over, or think you've gotten to the bottom and figure out, okay, how do you think these games are going to be affected? Pick the offensive strategy and maybe go over. But well, it's because I actually, Shipley is legit. And that's why I think if this game does get into a slugfest, it favors Clemson because they have the better running game. And I think Shipley in the bad weather could give NC State a problem because the Wolfpack last year weren't able to run. This year they're not able to run. So, like, if this game were on a dry field, beautiful night, maybe if they rematch in the ACC championship if this were no issues with weather, I'd actually give NC State a real chance at pulling the upset because Clemson's secondary is not good. And I don't know. I watch their offense, and so much of their offense is just just throwing up a 50-50 ball and hoping that the wide receiver comes down with it. I don't know, man. I'll see. I mean, I don't know who Clemson's going to play to be able to kind of expose, I think, some of the problems that they have. But maybe it's not until they get to the college football playoff, if indeed they get there. But I'm still not all there with Clemson yet.
No, understandable. I can get on board with that. I understand why you'd see more. I actually would lean towards Langham this weekend, as crazy as that may sound. I just thought that number was a little higher than I anticipated, and that made me think maybe Clemson's the right side. I just had to see Devin Leary. I mean, Sam Hartman made throw after throw after throw to make that game competitive last week. I have not seen Devin Leary make those type of throws. No. Not yet. Not this year. So until proven otherwise, I lean Clemson in that matchup. Here's a game that no one, at least I didn't expect to be talking about at this stage of the season. Iowa State on the road at Kansas. Kansas, a 3-point home dog. Do you continue to ride the hot hand here, Bear? Because it feels like this Cinderella story is going to come crashing down, but I don't know if this is the week that it will.
I think it does. You can probably count on two hands the number of Iowa State tickets that will be written this week as the Kansas love affair continues. And hey, look, rightfully so. Offensively, they have been dynamic, but they're facing, I think, this week by far the best defense that they have faced all year long. And it was an Iowa State team that got outplayed and lost a home game to Baylor, who probably is the best team in the Big 12 last week. I think it's a really good spot this week for Iowa State to go on the road with that defense. Kansas, all the talk, how is Kansas not ranked? And you look at some of their defensive numbers as well, they're really not very good. So I think at the number here, maybe you could buy it down to 3, but I see mostly 3. And I do see 3 across the board now, which is surprising. Maybe we can get this to 2 or 1 by kickoff. So I'd hold off and probably get the best Iowa State number that you can get.
Yeah, it's understandable. Here's a few that these are kind of like shaking my headlines when I saw them. It was like, whoa, really? Michigan State currently an 8-point, or excuse me, Maryland currently an 8-point favorite over Michigan State. That game's in College Park. 8 points.
You want any part of?
How do you take Michigan State? You can't.
You want any part of this game, because you can't take Michigan State, given the injuries that they have on the defensive side of the ball and how awful they are offensively right now. Thorne can't complete a pass. The line is bad. Struggle. I mean, that was just one of the worst performances by a team start to finish that I've seen this year. Give Minnesota credit, but I don't know how you could take points with Michigan State right now. By the way, my alt Michigan State under 7.5 wins looking pretty good right now.
Very strong.
Regression is a hard thing, and we talked about it. And Michigan State fans gave me, and I'm sure you, and a lot of people, a lot of crap last year about how they were winning all these games, and it's like it's not sustainable, and somehow it was. Somehow they managed to do it, and that this year it was going to turn around, and it has. But at the same time, you want to lay that many points with the Maryland team that kind of sold out last week, played really well on the road at the Big Out. So now you come back and you're expected to win. Like, I don't know. This is a complete stay away for me.
Yeah. See, I'd lean, if I had to play it, I'd play Maryland, but it's, I think Maryland's got good weapons, good 1-2 punch at running back, good wide receivers. I think Talia outside of a quarter or two here and there, like, yeah, he does at times make some bad decisions, but it is what it is. That's one line that made me do a double take. Here's another one. Florida State, a 7-point favorite against Wake Forest. I was shocked by this, Bear. I looked at the line. Yeah. I was like, hang on a second. What? Wake Forest just had a great all-time game against Clemson, and now they're coming back, and they're a touchdown dog against a team that they dominated last year. Like, help me understand the logic here.
Yeah, I don't either. I think a lot of the play so far has been on Wake Forest. But again, I think you need to look at the psychology of 19, 20, 21-year-old kids who you sell out last week and you probably should have won that game and you let it get away. Now you got to go on the road to Florida State, a team that you've handled in the last couple of years. But the Noles are a different team so far. They found a way to win a couple of games, whether it was LSU, whether it was Louisville. They came out and hammered a bad Boston College team last week. They're feeling pretty frisky right now. And Jordan Travis is back healthy now, which helps their offense. I'm struggling with this game because everything is screaming take Wake Forest. But at the same time,
right?
I worry about that game last week. And will there be any lingering effects down the road?
I think there's a few of those that you could point to. Another one that made me just, this one really made me kind of, I don't want to say freak out, but in a lot of ways freak out. Illinois on the road at Wisconsin getting 9, that line is down to,
it's down
7.
To, seven. It's down to 7.
Me, Illinois has, yeah, I mean, that line to me, Bear, still way too many points. Like, I do not like anything that I've seen from Wisconsin. I know they match up fairly well against teams like Illinois. But how could you possibly lay north of a touchdown with the Badgers? Give me the Illini all day long. It might be my favorite play of the weekend.
Yeah, I certainly couldn't lay points with Wisconsin in this game, even though you're not getting the best of the number anymore. But at the same time, like you hit on it last year. Whether look, this is a completely different Illinois team from what Wisconsin played last year. But at the same time, they kind of do the same thing offensively, and Wisconsin has, I think, the better defense. This might just be a dead under game. I still see like 43.5 out there as a total. I think Illinois is going to be a very sexy public underdog this week just because of how bad Wisconsin has been, and it's Bielema going back to Madison. I'd be careful here with the side, but this could be one of those 23-17 type games, if that, and be a solid under.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. I would think that everyone's on the under, even if it's a 43. I would think that is a very popular play this weekend. Bear, let's get to some revenge games. Texas A&M going to Mississippi State. They're a 3.5-point dog. That line opened as a 1.5-point dog. It steamed in favor of Mississippi State. Remember, Mississippi State beat them in College Station last year. A&M, I don't want to say they were lucky last week, but definitely, you know, beneficiary of some mistakes from Arkansas. And then conversely, rematch of the Big 12 championship game. You got Oklahoma State at Baylor. Opened as Oklahoma State as a slight favorite. Now it's steamed all the way in favor of the Bears, who are now a 2-point favorite. So I kind of lean Mississippi State and I lean Oklahoma State in these two games. Bear, do you have a feel in one way or the other?
I was surprised that Baylor, that was only a 2.5-point favorite. I thought Baylor would be north of a field goal here, just because I think we know so much more about Baylor. Like Oklahoma State, but they played Central Michigan, Arkansas, Pine Bluff, and someone else terrible. But like we don't their defense was torn apart in garbage time, I think, for the most part, by Central Michigan. But we don't know anything about this year's Cowboy team. How will Derek Mason's defense respond against their first real test against a team that's really well coached? It's got some good upperclassmen leadership on this team. You got Grimes and his ability to call a game. They went to Iowa State and won, went to BYU and nearly won. Like, I like this Baylor team a lot. I was surprised. I thought this number would be bigger. So that is a little concerning to me. But I think Baylor is the right side here. I can see myself being on Baylor on Saturday. And the other game is interesting as well, because I think – I think A&M without an A.S. Smith is going to be a problem. It's already an offense that doesn't march the length of the field. It's trouble scoring points, very slow paced, and you're going against a Mississippi State defense that I think is a lot better than people think. So, and I think it's but once since Johnny Manziel left, I think A&M has won against both Mississippi schools in the same year. So this is you got the Alabama game next week, which is, I mean, they shouldn't be looking past anybody right now with how poor they are offensively. But I think I'm both favorites in this game. In these games, I'd be on Mississippi State, and I would be on Baylor as well.
Let's keep it in the SEC for a half second, talking about the state of Mississippi. Kentucky traveling to Ole Miss. Ole Miss is very much an unknown. Yeah, they have a game against Georgia Tech where they looked great, but no one's really challenged their defense. No one really knows what to make of Ole Miss. Meanwhile, Kentucky, maybe they've had some struggles along the offensive line. They are quarterback and their passing attack's great. Defensively, they're pretty good, but really don't know what to make of Ole Miss, I mean, as much as anything else. Like, I think Kentucky's pretty good. I don't know what to make of Ole Miss. I think they're good, but I'm not sure. I know I'm not confident enough to lay 7 points there in Oxford, Mississippi, backing the Rebels. So give me the points all day long with Kentucky. Yes. Would you be on the same side?
Give me points and give me a little sprinkle on the money line as well on this game. You and I both know Mark Stoops very well, and this is the type of game that he lives for. His team being disrespected, despite having the tougher competition, despite having won already on the road at Florida, despite the 10-win seasons that they had, people still tend to kind of dismiss Kentucky as a legitimate college football team. So I really like Kentucky in this spot. I worry about all. I mean, what I don't want to react too much, overreact to last week too much. But the fact that Ole Miss kind of got shut down in that second half last week and didn't score, like, were they really looking ahead to this week or something? But yeah, I think the pieces are in place here for a potential upset. So, yeah, give me UK plus the points and give me a little money line as well.
I like that. Let's talk about the Red River Shootout. Game's not being played right now. It's obviously next week, but exactly. It's the teams involving that are in the Red River Shootout. Oklahoma traveling to TCU. They'll go to Fort Worth, Dallas, Fort Worth in consecutive weeks. So we'll take it as you will. They are a 6.5 point favorite on the road. My goodness, that's a lot of points against TCU. Mm-hmm. And then Texas at home, a 9.5 point favorite against West Virginia. I love TCU in this spot. And then I like West Virginia. I like the dogs in both these games, knowing there could be some look ahead flu going on.
I don't like West Virginia. I think their defense is poor, for the lack of it to be kind. And I think after giving one away last week in Lubbock, I would expect Texas to play a pretty crisp football game on Saturday. I think they'll be able to, I think Bijan Robinson will have a massive game against that defense. And I think regardless of who's playing quarterback, I know Texas is down some wide receivers now, but I don't have a ton of faith in that West Virginia defense to get many stops. And at the same time, I'm with you on TCU. We heard about how this is going to be different with Oklahoma. They weren't going to lose these games. Lincoln Riley's no longer there. It was his fault they lost. They weren't focused. The defense was bad, and they'll be better now. And what happened last week? Same old Oklahoma in a game like that. So it would concern me laying this many points in this game, especially TCU getting the confidence off of the win last week against SMU, Oklahoma having the Red River game last week. But I think it's kind of negated a little bit because they're coming off of a loss. I think Oklahoma still has those defensive problems. And I think that TCU offense certainly has the pieces to be able to put up a ton of points. So if nothing else, I would look at a TCU team total over. But I would also agree with you that TCU plus the points would be the play. And maybe a little on the money line as well. Maybe a little on the money line as well.
There you go. Just a sprinkle. Anything else you love that we haven't hit yet?
Quentin Johnson's going to be a problem.
Oh, he always is. Anything else you love?
Yeah. Yeah, I would look at Utah laying the 10.5 against Oregon State. I know
you like Keithy, the hangover there from Oregon State.
But yeah, you lose Keithy. I know, but it's north of 10 points, which I think is going to attract a lot of people towards Oregon State. But I think the Beavers' rush defense is not very good. I think you're going to see a lot of Tavion Thomas and Utah running the ball. I think they'll dominate the line of scrimmage and win that game handsomely. And I'm probably going to take a look at USC in the first half against a dead team walking in Arizona State. I mean, after USC started slow, survived last week, you're probably looking at laying, I would say, maybe, 15 in the first half.
I bet 16.5 on the first half. That's my guess.
Yeah, we've seen SC come out and drill most everybody early on outside of last week when they had to really take their first true road game of the year. So I'd look at I'd look at USC in the first half as well.
SC, as of right now, 14.5 in the first half, Bear.
First half?
So I
would get on that first right half. Now. No, don't hate that at all either.
All right, beautiful, man. Great stuff as always. We really appreciate it. Best of luck this weekend, my friend.
Same to you. Take care now.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, great stuff with Bear. Really appreciate being able to hit all those different games. I mean, we must have hit 20, 25 different games. And those are like leans, by the way. Those are not like hold me to them locks. Those are like leans. So like you do with it as you so choose. Play responsibly. That's all I'll say. All you people like, oh, you gave me the... Like, no, these are leans. Like, that's the direction. It's like not saying you play every one. I'm saying that there are some that you could tell that we're a little bit stronger on. Those might be the ones that I would feel a little bit better about putting a little action on. But either way, it's all for fun. It's all for enjoyment. And maybe it gives you some interest in games or teams that you haven't really watched before. And we're all about making sure that we are as responsible as possible, though, when it comes to the action. So hope you enjoy it. And we look forward to seeing how you guys do this weekend. Let us know. That's for sure. All right. Hit us up on our social media at AlwaysCFB. That's on Instagram and on Twitter. You can hit us up in our email. Submit some mailbag questions. We'd love to get and interact with you at alwayscollegefootball@gmail.com. For Mark Kubiak, I'm Greg McElroy. For Jack Foster, Jack Shrails, Sam Hordman, everybody. To everybody that helps us get this show off the ground, we really, really appreciate it. To Bear Felica, shoot, you gave us 30 minutes today. We appreciate him as well. So we'll be back tomorrow. Preview all the games. Give me five big matchups, five under the radar games that you absolutely have to watch. So don't miss it. Make sure you tune in right here, same time, same place, whether that's on ESPN's YouTube channel or that's on the podcast, whether that's Apple Podcast or on Spotify. Like, rate, and subscribe. It helps us out, helps the show out. For all of us here at Always College Football, we hope you have a wonderful day. Good luck playing. And remember, it's Always College Football. Hey guys, it's Greg McElroy. Thanks for watching Always College Football. Make sure you like, rate, and subscribe to ESPN's YouTube channel and wherever you listen to your podcasts.